I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you that is marked by humor and depth, endearing characters, and the assurance that the right people will accept and adore us unconditionally, just as we are. Thanks for joining us. In deeply unexpected news, that is an intro to a book about a spider.
Luigi, the spider who wanted to be a kitten.
I mean, you didn't see that coming at all. It was just a little spidey and he wanted to be a kitten.
Can I just say that I know we praise our producer Rich far too often for his own mental well-being because he's Midwestern and doesn't take compliments. But we were getting to the point where the mission statement fun was starting, you know, that was still good. But like right when we were starting to reach that point, we switched to the genius kids books, which are just full of fun, sweetness and light.
I know. And it has turned our frowns upside down because Rich gets us.
Indeed. Indeed.
Love your spiders just as they are.
Listen, folks, I'm on a mission. I haven't told anyone about this, not even Molly, to make It's a Thing be the most successful thing either one of us do as of this moment right now. We need each of you to tell 10 friends to support our Patreon at the $100 a month level.
Mm-hmm. Cause honestly, this is all we want to do.
Cause then we can just quit everything else. Like, and you would love it.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Dear audience. You would love, wouldn't you love, we could do It's a Thing like twice a week. We could do like daily thing drops.
Yeah.
There could be video.
Mm-hmm.
We could have the full-fledged store experience.
It would be worth our time to, you know, comb our hair and put on decent clothes for video.
You know?
Yeah.
We look great. Come
Actually, we post the video sometimes, but we don't broadcast it. We could broadcast the whole thing.
We could broadcast it. We could just live stream it.
I don't know. That really was not planned. That just occurred to me right in that very moment. So,
I mean, I have this whole it's so funny that you say that because I have this whole fantasy that I just like chuck it all, sell this house, go to like upstate New York, mm-hmm. buy a house for cash and live off of It's a Thing. Like, I'm just like, this is the best thing I do every week.
It's me too.
Bar none.
Yeah. It's so much fun. It's the most fun you'll have in 20 minutes all week long. I've been getting into this habit lately. I don't know how long it'll last, but both my things are things where I'm like, I didn't know that was a thing, but it is. Did you know that there's a long-going meme that it probably started in 2014 that we are still living in 2014?
No.
It's called The Long 2014. I had heard the people joking that 2020 never ended, right?
I've heard that.
Yeah. But The Long 2014 predates that. It's the idea that like right as smartphones became ubiquitous and we started to have, you know, with Gamergate at first, but really, you know, just change the topic. It's the same flavor of like outrage and wars online. Like not much has changed since 2014.
This is so interesting because the other thing that I didn't know exactly was that was the year that this kind of internet culture era seems to have been marked as having begun.
Yeah.
That was a grammatically tortured situation.
I followed it. I could diagram
it. Thanks. But yeah, like it seems like people are like, yes, 2014 is when there was, you know, this fifth generation warfare, social engineering, spread of misinformation, smartphones saturating U.S. markets, like crappy online culture.
Yeah.
And we're just still, this is actually deeply sociologically fascinating.
Names and labels change, but
we're still in 2014.
We're still in 2014.
Wow. Yeah. This is interesting. I did not I had no idea. This is amazing. Now I feel like I'm going to see this everywhere now.
Yeah, it's probably going to be another Bader Meinhof phenomenon kind of thing where we just start seeing it. But yeah, go take a poke around. You'll find tons of memes. And like you said, once I looked at it, I was like, huh, there is sort of a dividing line there.
Yeah.
And maybe COVID elongated the slow change of time, which makes it feel like it's still closer to 2014. You know, it slowed down some trends and such, but there's Ambassador Dobo put a picture of a t-shirt that just says 2014.
Time is a flat 2014. Yeah, this is pretty wild. It is like, you know, despite having talked at the beginning of the show about how fun this show is, it is really interesting that it references this idea that we've been stuck in this, that Western culture has been stuck. I'm reading from the encyclopedia entry on Know Your Meme, in a socio-political and cultural stagnation since then.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is amazing. This is a great find.
There's holes to be poked, right? Like, you know, obviously COVID is one. Like, well, we didn't have that in 2014. But there's some big long trends that you start to go, well, okay, we're not technically still in 2014, but why are these things still around? Could you do that to other, you know, 10-year periods? This is a 10-year period we're talking about. Maybe you could. I haven't really tried, but it's interesting.
That's funny because there's also, on a way lighter note version of this, a lot of posting. I seem to be following all the kind of like aging millennials, youngest Gen Xers on the internet right now. And a lot of them are posting like songs that are turning 10 this year.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because those are all songs from 2014.
Right.
And but the point of the post is a little bit of the Tesseract effect that seems to be happening here. Like, what? No, that song came out yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's all about songs that are turning 10 this year.
And if we go back to our Buzz Out Loud era conversations about living in a simulation, maybe a setting got changed. maybe something got stuck.
Let's go look at our It's a Thing shows from 2014. I can't remember if that was during our break or not, but if we were doing them, it would be great to know what we said with things, because if it's like the same thing.
We started in 2012. No, that's not right. 2012?
No, it is right. Yeah, because I started the Twitter feed in like 2010 or 2011.
All right.
And it wasn't long before it became a podcast.
Yeah, I don't know what year I'm looking at, season two. But I think season two is probably 2014.
Uh-huh. All right, so we'll go back and look.
Scalpers, mustache Cronut eyebrows, scalper. Microbiome.
Hey, that's back.
Eating Word invasive still. Species.
Oh, wow. God, this show is wild.
Mason jars.
Still, yeah.
Irish exit.
What a romp.
Yeah.
What a romp. Amazing. Well, I will not be surprised. Eating invasive species is probably the closest. I will not be surprised if every single year and arguably every month of It's a Thing, we have done some diet fad or supplement or food thing.
Yeah.
But I'm bringing one. And that thing is AG1, which is the rebranded, relaunched version of Athletic Greens supplements.
Okay.
And it is just the social media darling of the world right now. Of the fitness and peak performance and athletic world.
So it's a pill. It's a pill you take.
No, it's not a pill. It's a powder? It's like a smoothie thing, like a powder.
Okay, yep. It's powder.
It's a green powder.
Green powder, got it.
It includes 75 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, whole food source, plant compounds, and everybody's favorite thing right now, adaptogens. Meant to support energy levels, immune health, gut health, healthy aging, and hormonal and neural health.
So it's an all-in-one foundational supplement is what you're telling me.
It's an all-in-one foundational supplement for peak physical condition. And okay, so you know I'm very protective of my algorithm. So on my personal Instagram, I do not allow anything but cute animals.
Sure.
Smart. But on my Prostagram, somehow I've gotten into the fitness influencer loop because I watch a lot of like weightlifting because I've been trying to do a lot of strength training. So I'm watching all these like weightlifter videos and there's not a single one that I've seen in the last like 3 weeks that did not involve AG1 as either a sponsor or like a legit, like an organic placement where they're just like, oh, I start my day with my AG1 powder and they, you know, shake it up into a gross juice and drink it. And so then when I went looking, I found all of these like reviews, articles, you know, a dietitian tried it or whatever, all from just like the last 3 weeks. Like it just seems to have hit right this minute as the TikTok supplement du jour. And so I'm here to tell you that if you're just like, I feel like a lot of FOMO about this AG1 thing, that's because of TikTok.
Yeah.
Make your decisions accordingly. Like this, if you're looking for this kind of thing,
good.
Then oh all gosh. The dietitians will just tell you the same thing they always say, which is like, you should be getting all this from your food, but if you don't know how to eat.
If you ain't, then.
If you don't know how to eat and you have stupid person money,
yeah,
because this thing is apparently insanely expensive, then go for it. Yeah, there we are. Look at you with the screen share.
So, yeah, no one else could see it but you.
We should do video on this show.
But I'm sharing it with you because I don't know if you've ever looked at the ingredients page on the AG1 website, but it's like Pinterest. It's not like a list of ingredients. It's like a picture of a cherry being held with calipers, acerola cherries, an apple, you know, just beginning to be peeled. And then when you click on them, they just give you a bigger version.
A bigger version of the picture? Oh, my God. That's amazing.
But it's like the prettiest ingredients list you'll ever see. That's so good.
Because it's not science, Tom. It's art.
I believe it now.
Yeah. It's art. Rhodiola root. And it has all our favorites. It's got some ashwagandha. It's got the rhodiola root. Like, it's got all of that stuff.
Probiotics, shiitake mushrooms.
Because the microbiome remains a thing. Mm-hmm. You got to have your probiotics. Yeah. AG1 is everywhere. I am resisting the FOMO because I think it's like $80 a month or something crazy like that to have a subscription of it. Yeah, it's bonkers.
Wow, this is a great one.
Oh, I'm sorry. $100 per package.
How the package is one drink?
I think it can't be. It's like a month's worth or something, but I mean, it's okay. Not
$100 like a month.
Wow. I mean, it's like probably about $100 a month. Yeah.
I have a friend who's a bodybuilder, like, yeah, and I have not noticed her post about AG1, but I bet I will now.
You gotta ask.
Yeah, and if I don't, I'm gonna ask. She'll probably be like, "Yeah, I can't afford that stuff." But
yeah, she's like, "That's crazy." Yeah, so one pouch is $99, and that contains 30 servings.
Okay.
You can get travel packs for $109, and then if you do the subscription, the price goes down a little bit.
I mean, it's actually $3.33 per drink. Then
yeah.
30 packs. Yeah. So it's latte money.
It's, or, you know, protein bar or something.
Yeah.
If you do the subscription, it goes down to $2.63 a serving or something.
And with our affiliate links, Rights Ranch.
And with our affiliate links, peak physical condition.
Listen.
I mean, people are getting ripped again. Like, we've talked about this a couple times on the show. Like, fitness is in.
Yeah.
Big time. Post-COVID, everybody's trying to lose that COVID weight, myself included. And now I lost the weight. Now I'm trying to get strong, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
And so now we apparently all need AG1. I will resist.
This is great. This is a really good one.
I must resist.
I can't legally tell you that supporting it's a thing for $100 a month would be healthier for you. But let's find out.
I mean, this stuff's not FDA approved.
Yeah. We are. Just saying. I don't know. Actually, I was going to say we taste better, but then that goes all kinds of weird.
That's weird. I'm just going to say we're as good for your mental health as these adaptogens.
Yeah. And probably listening to us could be considered more pleasant than drinking AG1. Although some people may like the taste of AG1. I don't know. Some people do.
I don't know. Yeah. You know.
We can't say. My second thing today is really just a news story, but I think it shows the halo effect of the broader thing that is 80s nostalgia. Which is a group from England called Zenana, which was active from 1983 to 1987 in a town called Milton Keynes. It's a town, Milton Keynes, England. They have got back together and started touring because the head of Rush Hour Records found one of their self-made records from the 80s in a record shop and loved it. And so went and found them and was like, hey, or it was a DJ. It was a club DJ found mm-hmm. it and started playing it. And then Rush Hour Records went and found them and was like, hey, your songs are real popular in the clubs. You know, we could probably book you on a tour. Yeah. Wow. These ladies are like 70 years old and they're touring Europe.
Oh my gosh. And they have their like 80s outfits on and they're like sticking their tongues out. That is amazing.
Yeah.
This is definitely, I mean, this sort of nostalgia touring thing, it almost feels like when how movies are only just sequels or something. It's like every tour I see, even my own Ticketmaster agenda right now is like Creed Summer of 99, PJ Harvey in October, and that I actually considered adding Usher because Usher is coming to San Francisco yeah. in September. I was like, sure.
Which Super Bowl. He's still relevant, banging. Obviously, because of the Super Bowl, but heritage artist, right? He's been around since the 90s. So, yeah.
100%. Mm-hmm. He's some of his songs, I think, no question, some of his songs are on the list of songs that are turning 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This year.
More
yeah.
than,
which is,
yeah. Many of them even 20.
Which hurts. Uh-huh. Wow. Nostalgia. The nostalgia economy keeps rolling.
Zenana recorded one single, Witches, in 1986. And then a DJ started spinning it and people are like, this is great. And then the record label is like, you're huge in the clubs. You may not realize it. Let's book you.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, forget about discovering young up and comers. Discover some rockin' ladies in their 70s who are like, yeah, we'll put those outfits on again.
I think that's why I wanted to bring this up, because it's the confluence of so many things. The vinyl resurgence, right? This DJ like combing through vinyl and finding this and taking a flyer on it. The sort of nostalgia culture, you know, to go to a club and be like, you know, hey, kids, check this out. And then go, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah. Witches.
That
man.
Is. I'm gonna go listen to it right after the show. I'm excited.
Yeah, you know what?
I can find it. Do you have it?
It's on Apple Music. Like, yeah, they've totally broken out into the Zenana. Here we go.
Zenana.
They have one song on Apple Music. It's Witches with the Spell of Love. This is a DJ remix, though. Apparently, so. Mm. That's a long setup, isn't it?
This is perfect. This is perfection. I'm also getting Pet Shop Boys vibes, totally. We're laughing, by the way, because producer Rich says he just did a line of coke out of respect.
Which is Bravo, the appropriate sir. Response, yes. Yeah.
I just pulled my shirt all the way down over my shoulder, so it's just like one sleeve. Yeah, that's wow. That is the most 80s.
It's like hardcore, pure mainline 80s.
Yeah. That's beautiful, though. I love it. I'm so excited for their new album. That
they're like, tour? Yeah, sure. I don't care if I'm 70. Let's do it. Let's go to Amsterdam.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's all of us go to
yeah, let's see them.
Go to Amsterdam and see them. Nostalgia economy, I love it. Okay, well, that is hilarious, because once again, in an unplanned confluence of awesome sauce, my thing is a new artist who old people love.
Yeah, we got the kids love the 70-year-old band, and you've got the opposite. Yeah. This is amazing.
And meanwhile, all moms be loving Olivia Rodrigo. So Olivia Rodrigo is what, like 20, 21? I don't know. But her music is all basically.
We'll all look it up.
It's high school heartbreak. Yeah. I mean, it's the most, like the first Olivia Rodrigo. I mean, she has a song called Driver's License, for crying out loud.
Turned 21 February 20th.
Right. Okay. Yes. So she is Abhaby. And her music is that just complete, that specific age where you will never love harder and never have worse heartbreak and never forgive the person who broke up with you. Like, it's very over the top. And yet, all the moms love Olivia Rodrigo. It's like there's something about maybe she reminds us of the singer-songwriters of our youth. You know, it's sort of like she gives us Ani DeFranco vibes. I don't know. But yeah, it's also how secretly relatable it is. Like, yes, it's ridiculous to sing a song about, you know, driving back. What does she say? There's like that traitor one. Like, I'm trying to remember how it goes, but it's just like, you ruined everything and you didn't cheat on me, but you're a traitor. And you're just like, this is ridiculous. And also, suck it, that guy, Team Olivia. It's just like it activates your inner teenage girl in the most satisfying way. And there are articles that are like, help, this is in Vogue. Am I too old to feel so seen by Olivia Rodrigo's new album? That's from a woman who is all of 27.
Uh-huh.
But then there's one that's like, Olivia Rodrigo makes me miss being a teenage girl and worry about raising one. And it's like a woman with who's got like a young kid. And then I just know all of these 40-something women who are like, oh, yeah, no, I can't get enough. Have you heard Vampire?
Like, Vampire is so good, right?
Vampire is so good.
Yeah. Do you know Get Him Back?
No.
Get Him Back is, I want to get him back. I want to make him really jealous. Want to make him feel bad. I want to get him back because then again, I really miss him and it makes me real sad. Oh, I want sweet revenge and I want him again. I want to get him back, back, back. Oh. Like just taking the double entendre and giving it a big hug. Like, uh-huh. Yes.
Just giving it, yeah.
Yeah, not I subtle. Want him back. Nothing and I also want to get him back. Yeah. Right.
The ex one that's like, you know, I tripped and fell into his bed. Oh, I know. The traitor one, she's like, you betrayed me. Like, I mean, it is melodrama. And we cannot get moms love Olivia. This is literally, this article in romper.com is literally titled, Why Moms Love Olivia Rodrigo.
I've made some real big mistakes. This is Vampire. I made some real big mistakes, but you make the worst one look fine. I should have known it was strange. You only come out at night. I used to think I was smart, but you made me look so naive. Like, yeah, that's timeless. That's timeless stuff right there.
Timeless. Like we all secretly, and she's just giving us permission to be our best girly selves. And so does Taylor Swift. Yes.
Yeah.
But Olivia does it in such dramatic fashion that it unleashes your inner crazy girl and you're just like, you just want to play it secretly in the car.
Yeah. I love her rock songs.
Just own it.
Driver's License is good. I'm not going to say a word against Driver's License, but her rock songs I have on my playlist, like Good For You, Get Him Back, even Vampire, which is kind of crossover. Like it gets a little bit, but oh yeah. Traitor.
That's my version of it. Do you know Bad Idea Right? In progress. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one's amazing. Oh,
Bad Idea Right's genius.
That's the ex-boyfriend one. That's just absolutely genius.
And it's seeing you tonight. Lyrics are so,
it's a bad idea, right? Seeing you tonight. It's a bad idea, right? And then she's like,
tripped and fell into his bed.
Tripped and fell into his bed. There's something about the effort, it's fine, that again is just like permission. I cannot believe how deep I am in this catalog right now. I'm so deep in Olivia's bag. Like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, mom's
love. I only
her.
See him as a friend. Biggest lie I ever said.
I only see him as a friend. Biggest lie I ever said.
Yeah.
She's like, I know I've seen hotter guys, but
really can't remember when.
I really can't remember when. Yes, Technomed. She's the seeing you tonight too, artist.
But I really can't remember when. Oh, so good. Yeah. Oh, I'm a fan.
Oh, my God. Oh, love it, love it, love it.
Okay. Yes.
What do you have, dear listeners?
Yes, let's get to the feedback at itsathing.me emails. Joe Hood wrote in with a possible thing. Hello, scions of thingitude. I was listening to the conversation on looks maxing. And never realized that mewing was a part of that. I think mewing may have evolved into its own thing as well. I heard about it recently from a middle school teacher on TikTok that was saying that when cold called, some tween boys would put their fingers to their lips in a shush motion and then point along their jaw to suggest, I can't talk. I'm mewing right now. Side note, Gen Alpha being feral is a thing. I checked in with my resident Zoomer and Alpha, and both were aware of mewing and the can't talk I'm mewing gestures. It is very common as a joke and a bit for my 16-year-old son and his friends. They even have emojis for it so they can text each other. Keep up the good work and the strong jawline, Joe.
Can't talk, I'm mewing. Oh, this generation.
This is not even this is not even checking in. This is just reporting from the field. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, that's incredible. Thank you for the on the boots, boots on the ground reporting. Matt wrote in with another euphemism formula. Hi, Molly, Tom, and Rich. Regarding the academic proof of euphemism being a thing, one other, at least memed about euphemism, is to verb the adjective noun. Mm. When describing having physical relations with someone. Mm-hmm. I know this euphemism from the 2005 show Clone High, which aired on MTV. I know the mutual friend of the show, Justin Robert Young, has spoken of his love for Clone High and would likely back me up on this being at least a minor thing. Some examples from Clone High: to harpoon the longshoreman, or to drown the slippery otter.
Oh, yeah. This is ripe for academic investigation.
Is this show streaming or
yeah, fantastic.
Do you immediately listen to a bunch of Olivia Rodrigo after that? You betrayed me.
Andrew has alarm thoughts. Molly, Tom, and Rich, I'm going to predict the rise of the physical alarm clock as a thing coming soon. Physical alarm clocks had a giant snooze button, and it was the only thing you could hit. The alarm on and off was a switch, usually elsewhere on the device and not as easily accessible. Between everything being a screen button now, that feels the same. And the fact that the alarm screen has been redesigned a few times since iOS Android, it's just not trustworthy enough to know that you are hitting snooze on a phone. So I think Tom's theory is right. But I also think the physical alarm clock ties well into other conversations from cars, etc., about physical affordances in design needing to come back.
Interesting. I'm down the mental rabbit hole of the physical design affordances. That's so true. It's so true because everything being a screen just does not work. I have been delighted with the physical volume button in my car.
Yeah. And there's a bit of the nostalgia play there too, where people, yeah, you know, especially younger folks are like, ooh, the retro thing, right? Like I'll have a physical alarm clock like they used to have back in the old days.
I feel like, I'm sure you're right, by the way. That's definitely going to come back, especially because everybody keeps talking about how they can't stand to hear the iOS alarm sound anymore.
Yeah.
And then finally, Devo wrote in. So I stumbled onto Depop.com because it was recommended on Reddit as a really solid place to get great deals on fun clubby clothes for my wife to wear to fish concerts.
Okay.
I love you two already. Uh-huh. Side note. I was blown away, writes Devo, by the amount of awesome, sexy options on offer and shared it with a lot of our friends. I just heard it get name checked on this week's SNL, and I think it might be a thing. I'm in my late 40s, and so are most of our friends. No one had heard of it before, but everyone loved it. It also seems like more than a resale shop with how sellers model a lot of the clothes themselves. I think if we were under 25, we would have known about this for a while.
Now, Devo, I want to say my immediate reaction to this email was, oh, that's so cool. Until Rich pointed out that I actually covered used clothing as a thing on June 20th, 2019, and apparently led with Depop. So,
yep.
Yeah.
And I think it was about then that I was like, yeah, we just did a story about this on Marketplace Tech because it is a thing.
And still going. And good to know it's still going. Thank you, Devo.
Depop, I would say, is where my child gets 90% of his clothes.
Oh.
It's just a daily – and there's bidding.
Yeah.
So he will get clothes but then also get to brag about being the deal king because he's like, I got this guy from, you know, $18 down to $9 or whatever.
And you're not contributing to the wasteful fast fashion, right? Because you're,
I mean, I'm all in. Yeah, I love it.
Right?
It's a wonderful climate.
Reusing.
Solution.
Reusing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the shout-outs upon which the foundation of Thingdom is built. These are shout-outs to our top supporters at the top level at patreon.com/itsathing. And as we say every week, we don't just say your name with appreciation, which probably would be good enough for a lot of people. Oh, no. Rich creates a wonderland in which your name is fixed this week based on the manual for the Leica M5 camera.
Oh, that's pretty hipster for Rich.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. Pretty hipster. All right, I'll kick us off here. Your new Lee Price is the first rangefinder patron in the world with through the Eric Duncan Laura Abel metering. This means not only the most accurate Kevin Sill focusing possible, but precisely selective Gabrielle Cohen readings under any Louis St. Amour conditions, night or AB puppy. We recommend that you begin practicing without AJ Venturella in the Mike Akins, working all the controls to get the feel of Joe Hood.
You will find James C. Smith is a fast-handling patron in the Valor Trucks tradition, with the added advantage of a highly sensitive Morris Jones. Please invest a small amount of Brian John Farcaro in reading through this short Jake Woods with your new Benjamin Forrest in hand. And good luck.
Now the Discord is taunting Rich, wanting to know if he owns one yet.
Yeah, Rich.
Harsh. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to It's a Thing. Thank you for supporting the show. Patreon.com/It's a Thing. As we said at the top of the show, if we got enough patrons, we would only do this.
By the way, you Rich just flexed by responding with a photo of his Leica M5.
Oh, dang. Bravo.
You can also support the show by buying things through our affiliate links like AG1. Look for them in the show notes at our shopping page, itsathing.me/shop. And email us those things. Keep them coming. Feedback@itsathing.me.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.